doesn't matter how you start. It really doesn't matter what others may think of you. But the important thing is just to keep on doing what you know to do is right, or to stand fast or persevere. Listen to this. Famous people who were slow starters. This was written by Irving Wallace in the Book of Lists in 1986. He says, Winston Churchill seemed so dull as a youth that his father thought he might be incapable of earning a living in England. Think about that. G.K. Chesterton, the English writer, could not read until he was 8. One of his teachers told him, if we could open your hand, this is a real encouragement. I'm sure Megan says this to her students all the time. If we could open your head, we could not find any brain, but only a lump of white fat. That's terrible, isn't it? Thomas Edison, his first teacher described him as addled, and his father almost convinced him he was a dunce. Albert Einstein's parents feared their child was dull, and he performed so badly in all high school courses except mathematics that a teacher asked him to drop out. Just think about that. So it really doesn't matter how you start, or it really doesn't matter what others may think of you. What really is important is to keep doing what you know to do is right, or stand fast, or persevere. Philippians chapter 4, verse 1 is our jumping board, if you will, our springboard. We're preaching through the book of Philippians, but we reserve the right to take detours every once in a while. And here's a detour that starts out of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. It says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 1, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, here it is, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Now, he shows his affection for the Philippians there in the words that he uses in that verse. But the main thrust of that verse is stand fast in the Lord. And that was part one of this series talking about standing fast or persevering. We're looking at five areas in which we should stand fast or persevere. And you'll find that in each one of the references that we're looking at, the stand fast is the same Greek word. So the idea is to persevere. The idea is to keep on doing whatever you're supposed to be doing. And the first area we looked at last Sunday morning, stand fast in the Lord, right here out of this passage. You think for a moment, what does it mean to stand fast in the Lord? We looked at two aspects of that, I believe, that's definitely in this passage. Stand fast in the Lord's strength. Stand fast in the Lord's strength. The only way that we can persevere is through the Lord's might and his power and his strength. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 says what? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You see, we need to stand fast in the Lord's strength as individuals, as couples, as families, as a church. It's all about the Lord's strength. I'm telling you, we can't do it. You know, we cannot fill these seats up. We cannot reach Clarksburg the way that we would like. The only way we can do that is through the Lord's strength. So we got to stand fast and persevere in the Lord's strength. The second area of persevering in the Lord, I believe, when it says stand fast in the Lord, is stand fast in the Lord's service. Stand fast in the Lord's service. Now, everybody probably can think of someone who got saved, served the Lord for a while, maybe used to be this or used to be that in the church and used to be so faithful, but they've quit. And they're like, where'd they go? It's a lot easier to quit sometimes, isn't it? Now, really, isn't it? It's like, I don't have to face it. I can just quit. I don't have, you know, and a lot of people have done that in their service to the Lord. But we need to make sure that we serve the Lord as we are gifted by the Lord. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verses 7 and 8. Notice here what it says. Here's that word. It says in 1 Thessalonians 3 verses 7 and 8. It says, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. So you gave us comfort knowing that you were faithfully serving the Lord. Now look at the next verse. For now we live. And you know what that word live kind of means? For now we are energized, if you will, if ye stand fast in the Lord. Sounds like to me, he's telling the Thessalonian believers that when you stand fast in your service to the Lord, it energizes me. It encourages my heart. It's a blessing to me, Paul writes to him, I believe is what he's saying in that. So we need to stand fast in the Lord's service. You know, we as a church, we got to stand fast in the Lord's service. It's not time to quit. It's not time to give up. And it really doesn't matter how we started. What's really important is how we finish. You know, when the Lord comes back, I want Oak Mound to still be standing by the word of truth. I want Oak Mound to still have a pastor behind that pulpit who's proclaiming the truth of God's word. I still want Sunday school teachers like we have now that are standing up and saying, thus saith the word of God. And we're going to look at it, we're going to talk about it, we're going to understand it, and by golly, we're going to obey it. Now that's important. We need to stand fast in the Lord's service. Five areas in which we should stand fast or persevere. Number one, stand fast in the Lord. In the Lord's strength, in the Lord's service. This morning, I thought we'd get further than we did. But this morning, number two area to stand fast in the faith. We looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. It says, watch ye, be alert, stand fast in the faith. Persevere in the faith. Quit you like men. Act like men. Act like ladies. Act like you know how to serve God, okay? Because most of us do. We're educated well above our obedience. Now we just need to do what we know to do is right, right? It says, quit you like men, be strong, it says. Let all your things be done with charity. Charity. You see, it says, stand fast in the faith. 2 Corinthians, that same word. 2 Thessalonians, that is, chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, we looked at this morning too. It says, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So he called you. Now what are you going to do with it? It says, therefore, brethren, Christians, stand fast. Stand fast in what? And hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whereby by word or our epistle. Now that's not talking about a tradition of a church, because we don't believe that. We don't believe that what the tradition of the church is where we're supposed to stay. Or else we could become just like a Catholic church. Because the Catholic church does elevate the tradition or the teachings of the church equal with the word of God. We don't do that. So if we have a fall festival every year, praise the Lord. If we don't, according to tradition, well, we're just not serving God because we have the tradition of doing the fall festival. If God tells us to stop doing the fall festival, guess what we'll do? We'll stop doing the fall festival. Or our order of service. There's nothing sacred about the order of our service, right? It's just like, okay, it seems to work, so we'll keep it up. So if we decide we're going to change the order up, I think some Sunday we're going to have reverse Sunday morning. We're going to do everything backwards. I think we should. We ought to have the sermon in the morning, and all six of us will be here. And then during Sunday school, a slight exaggeration because we don't have two. Sunday school is not doing well right now. I encourage you. We got some good teachers. Try to be in your place to be in Sunday school. What a blessing Sunday school is. I can't imagine life without Sunday school. I really can't. But have reverse Sunday. But what I'm saying, some people get so caught up, and that's the way we've always done it. You know the seven last words of the church. That's the way we've never done it that way before. That's the seven last words of the church. And if we get stuck on that, so this is not telling us to keep the tradition of a church and the way we've always done it. But we got to keep what the Word of God says. Then it goes on, which ye have been taught. It's talking about the Word of God, whether by word, because this the Bible wasn't completed yet. And he's writing to the Thessalonian church. So whether you heard it from me, Paul might say, or by word or our epistle, letter to you. So what is it really saying? We need to stand fast in the faith, and standing fast in the faith means standing on the word of God. Amen. Standing on the word of God. And I know that ought to go without saying, but I'm forever disappointed in people that say they believe the Word of God, but their life speaks volumes that they really don't, because they're not living by the truths of the Word of God. The real kicker is, make sure that we not only know it up here, but that we put it in practice whenever we walk. walk ought to match our talk, and if our walk doesn't match our talk, maybe our talk is not right. Maybe our heart's not right with the Lord. Y'all agree with that? So we got to stand fast in the faith. It means we are to persevere by the truth of God's word. This world's not getting any better. You figured that out? There's actually a bunch of people that used to believe, they're called post-millennialists. I remember studying them in seminary. They believe that the world's going to get better and better and better, and it's going to usher in the millennial kingdom of God because everything is so good. And now that had died for a long time, and people were like, boy, that's kind of weird. Why? But here lately, in the last few years at least, I'm getting a sense that some people are going back to that idea. And I'm like, where in the world are you? What world are you living in? When I live in this world is getting worse and worse and worse. Now, every once in a while, we have a good spark and something good. And I'm praying for a revival that something good happens. But we're not going to usher in. We are not going to usher in the millennial kingdom. It's going to come. The Lord's going to come and take us home, and then there's going to be 7 years of tribulation, and then the Lord's going to come back at the Battle of Armageddon and set up his millennial kingdom at that point, believe me. But we're out of here. I'm pre-millennial. I'm out of here. The rapture happens before the millennium, and I'm pre-trib. I'm not going through the tribulation period because I'm not appointed to wrath, the Word of God says, and the tribulation period is nothing but the wrath of God. So just thought I'd throw that in there. Tim, that'll only cost you $5, okay? All right. I warned him. I gave him fair warning. I'm going to pick on him tonight, the whole service, okay? So that's okay. It's okay if you warn him, right? Okay, I thought so. But we need to stand fast in the faith. A lot of people have abandoned the truth of God's word. A lot of churches have abandoned the truth of God's word. A lot of families have abandoned the truth of God's word. And let me tell you, we cannot. This is what we'll be judged by. This is what we're going to stand before the Lord in light of the Word of God and how we've served Him. This is the only rule of life that we have. So we need to stick to the Word of God. And I know, when I say that, I know some people are thinking in their brain, well, of course we'll stick to the Word of God, to the Word of God. Of course we'll stand fast in the faith. But boy, there's a lot of churches that haven't done that. I mean, I figure every one of us can think of a church that used to preach and teach the word, and now they're so far out that, you couldn't reel them in with the biggest fishing rod you had because they're so far out. They're not standing on the truth of God's word anymore. So stand fast in the faith. And hopefully you made up your mind that I'm going to stand fast in the faith. I know as a pastor, if I'm the last person standing for the word of God, I'm still going to stand. And I don't expect me to be the only one, but if I am, I'm going to stand alone. Guess what? I'm going to preach the Word of God. I don't care how unpopular it is. I don't care what popular opinion says. I answer to a whole lot higher calling than to public opinion. I answer to the God of the universe. And I'm going to give an account on how I lead this church and how I under-shepherd this church. And by golly, I'm going to do it by the Word of God. And prayer is appreciated for that. Third area. In which we should stand fast or persevere. This is new stuff for tonight. We need to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. This one, I truly believe that among most Christians that I know, this is not as much of a struggle maybe as some of the others. But stand fast in the liberty that God has called us to. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1. Here's that word again. Stand fast or persevere, therefore, in the liberty or the freedom wherewith Christ hath made us free. Now listen, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Now, if you look at verse 2, it mentions circumcision. So that light bulb kind of comes on like, boom, what's he talking about, this yoke of bondage? Now, you have to remember the Galatians, they were having a problem because Paul had taught them right. And Paul said, you are saved by grace through faith alone. And then some people came in and said, no. It's got to be you're saved by grace through faith plus keeping the law. And then it mentioned circumcision. Let me tell you, the only way that we are saved is by grace through faith in Jesus alone. Period. End of story. Close the book. Because that's how we're saved, right? And see, if we're not careful, and again, I don't think too many of our flavor have a problem with this, really, as far as people that believe the way we do, but it is possible. It is possible. I've known some people that were in good churches at one point, but then they switched to churches that teach that you're saved by works. And I'm like, where in the world? So we need to stand fast in this freedom that we have. Now, it's not freedom. It's not freedom from the authority of God's word. And it's not freedom from the commands that he gives us. But we have freedom from adding, making sure or thinking in our brain that we're saved by doing any one thing. And it talks about it uses the yoke of bondage. Let me tell you, if you think you are saved by being good, that's bondage. I really believe I'd have ulcers and be a nervous wreck. Because if I thought I got saved by doing good things, at the end of the day, when it come time to put my head on my pillow, I'd have to say, I wonder if I've done enough good today. I wonder, my scale might be tipping a little bit on the bad side. I'd be a nervous wreck. But see, we're not saved that way. Are we supposed to serve God? Absolutely. Are we supposed to do our best? Absolutely. As the choir sang this morning, are we supposed to do our best? Absolutely. But we are not saved by works. And whenever you add works in there, you might as well just, you're negating Jesus. And you're negating the gospel. And that's what Paul says. You know, there's some among you, he tells the Galatians in the earlier chapter, maybe chapter 1, he says something like, you know, some of you have, I can't believe that you're so far or so soon removed from the gospel by this teaching, which is really not another gospel at all, he says. So there's only one gospel, and the only gospel is putting your faith and trust in Jesus and being saved by his death, burial, and resurrection. Now, there are some close to what we believe that think, I add something to my salvation by being so spiritual. I mean, there's kind of a fine line there because we are supposed to do good things, right? And that God will bless us for that. But we're not more saved because we do more for God. We're only saved by one way, and that's through Jesus Christ. So we need to make sure that we stand fast. We know clearly from Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 that we're not saved by works. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10. So, for by grace, you ought to commit these to memory, really. And if not to memory, at least the reference so that you can open your Bible when you talk. Do you know how many churches today, they'll call themselves Christian churches, but they teach that you are saved by works? I want to look them in the eye, and sometimes I believe I've said it. You know, well, then why did Jesus have to come? It's like a slap in the face to God and say, well, God, you sure were stupid sending your son because I can work my way to heaven. No, God up there and above, he knows everything. He says, you can't work your way to heaven. There's no way that you can be good enough to go to heaven. Under the law, you could not be saved. It was by putting your faith in Jesus. They couldn't keep the law, right? So we ought to have this committed to memory or at least know the reference that we can go to it. Because so many people we encounter, they go to churches that say, you see, I'm happy with what I believe. Because what I believe is based upon the Bible. And you ask me what I am, I'm an independent Baptist. That's what I am, and that's what I'll be, and that's probably what I'll die. Independent Baptist. Now don't look at me mean. But I'm telling you, that's what I stand for. And independent Baptists know that you're saved by grace through faith. And therefore, I'm pretty much in a rut. I'm pretty much going to be where I'm going to be. You say, you're awful conservative. Yeah, I am. Don't think I'm going to change. I call myself a dinosaur because we're pretty extinct. There's not too many of us around that are this conservative. But there are some, praise the Lord, right? Is that right, Miss Amy? Okay, all right. I didn't see you say it a minute, but I'm just going to check with you there. John, after church. But we need to stand fast in the liberty. Ephesians 2, 8, 9, and 10 say, for by grace are you saved through faith. What God showed us his grace through Jesus, right? His unmerited favor. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, putting your faith in what Jesus did for us. And that not of yourselves. We can't do it ourselves. We can't pull ourselves up with our bootstraps and get ready for heaven. You can't do it. that not of yourselves? It's a gift of God. And how do you receive a gift? You just reach out by faith and grab it, right? You don't work for it. And then in case, ding, 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 the brain is so hardened that you can't think right, the writer of Ephesians, Paul, says, here, I want to spell it out for you really, really clear. Would you read that with me? Not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, people that say that you're saved by keeping the law or by doing good stuff, you're supposed to do good stuff. You can come to church until you're 125 years old and still not be saved. You can be good to your neighbor and still not be saved. You can give all of your money to the poor and still not be saved. Because the Bible, God's Word, says, and I cannot be saved by works. So we need to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. We should be doing those things, but trust me, we are not saved by those things. And if you think you are saved by those things, you are under the yoke of bondage. You're living in bondage. I've known some people. I'm convinced that their life, kind of looking from afar, looking at their life, part of their problem in life is they've been living in bondage. Because they're of that group that thinks, well, if I sin 1 second before I die, I'm going to hell. Huh? You're saved by grace through faith. That's a point in time when you put your faith and trust in Jesus. I don't have to worry. I mean, I shouldn't be sinning just the moment before I die, but if I am, my sins have all been covered by the blood of Jesus because I've been saved by grace through faith, and my salvation is not of works. I've been called to freedom from the law. Hello? Amen? I'm thankful for that. I mean, wouldn't that be bondage? Oh, I sure hope I don't sin before I die. Hope I don't think a bad thought. That's terrible. You are saved by grace through faith, not works. Stand fast or persevere. Five areas in which we should stand fast or persevere. First area, stand fast in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord's strength. Stand fast in the Lord's service. Secondly, from this morning, stand fast in the faith. What the Word of God says, stand fast in that. God really doesn't care about your opinion. I'm sorry, but He doesn't really care about your opinion. He doesn't care about my opinion either. And then tonight, stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. I think I might stop right there tonight. I'll give you a little break. You say, preacher, you're going awful short. Tim? But I want to do each one of these justice as we go through. And I thought really at one time it was going to be one message. But if we take a hold of that truth, again, we live in a society that most churches teach that you are saved by good works. And that big scale thing is up there. And if my good works outweigh my bad works, you know, I'm going to make it to heaven. And up there, St. Peter will say, hey, your good works outweighed your bad works, so open the gates wide. Here he comes. That's not biblical. We got to keep in mind that we need to persevere or stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. You know, I'm thankful. I mean, can you imagine if we were under the Old Testament law and we really thought that's how we were saved and how we could stay saved? You know, we'd have a goat brought in here and we'd have to sacrifice and you know, we'd be under the law and in fear that we did this or that and we're not sure. I'm thankful for the grace and the mercy of God. I am thankful for God's simple plan of salvation. I am thankful that I can put my faith and trust in Jesus. I'm thankful that little kids like Wren can understand I need Jesus and they can be saved. I'm thankful that it's so simple that a lot of the brilliant people of the world miss it because it's so simple. And a lot of people miss it because they have too much pride. And they don't want to humble themselves to say, I'm a sinner, God. I need your forgiveness. I need your help because they're so self-made and they think it's all about them. I'm telling you, as a child of God, I'm thankful that is not about me. Because I don't know about you, you're looking at a sinner saved by grace. You're looking at someone who still messes up and fails God and thinks things he shouldn't think and sometimes says things he shouldn't say and things like that and don't do some things I should be doing as strongly as I should. Hello, are y'all still out there? Some of you, if you really are mad at me, just say amen the loudest and I'll get it. Now, the point is we're all sinners saved by grace. And if we were saved by works, I'd be a nervous wreck. And you should be a nervous wreck. But because I can stand fast or persevere in the liberty where Christ in which Christ has called me and be free of that bondage, that ought to be what a child of God who truly knows Jesus says amen to. Really? Really? If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. Let me ask you. Do you know that you know that you know that you know that you are a child of God because you put your faith and trust in Jesus at some point? You made that decision. If you know that you know that you know that you're saved by grace, through faith, every head bowed, every eye closed, I want you to raise your hand up real high. You say, I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. Raise your hand up real high. That's you. God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. If you know that you know that you know, would you just take a moment and thank God that you know? Thank God that you know. Because you are saved. You're free from the bondage and the yoke of the law. You're free from being saved by works. Would you just take a moment and say, Lord, I thank you that I'm not under that bondage. I thank you because of what Jesus did for me. And because I put my faith and trust in that, I can put my head on my pillow tonight and know that I'm saved. Would you just praise the Lord for a moment? You can have your own little praise service if you want to in your heart right now. And just thank the Lord and praise the Lord that you can know that you're saved. Dear Grace Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time tonight looking at your word. And as we've been talking about standing fast or persevering tonight, that we can stand fast or persevere in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Lord, we just praise you for that. We thank you for that assurance that we have. We thank you, Lord, that once we put our faith and trust in Jesus and truly mean it, Lord, nothing can make us unsaved. We're not under the bondage of the law or the bondage of good works. Now, we should be doing good works, but Lord, help us to fully praise your name that we can know that we're saved apart from good works. If we are truly saved, there'll be good works, but Lord, we don't have to worry about, did I do enough? Did I do enough today? How about the last hour? We just praise you for that. Lord, bless our song and our time of invitation. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amy, what is the song tonight? Okay, page 257. Whatever the need is tonight, let me encourage you. The altar is always open if you want to come and pray about something. We have so many needs in our church as far as so many ailments and tests and things like that, that it's hard to keep track of all of them. But if you just want to come to the altar, if you want to come to the altar and just thank the Lord again for standing fast in the liberty or the freedom that we have from the law, whatever the need is. And if anyone's listening in tonight who's never trusted the Lord as their Savior, the key is to mean this from your heart. You can call out to the Lord right where you are in prayer and say, Lord, I'm a sinner, forgive me. Lord, I believe Jesus died upon the cross to pay for my sins and resurrected back to life. And you can call out and say, Lord, I want Jesus as my Savior. Claim Jesus as your Savior. You can be saved wherever you are. Now, it's not just saying those words. You got to mean it from your heart. But I hope and pray that some people do that. let's sing this song. If God is speaking to your heart, you respond, okay?